Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this Sunday afternoon once again to come together as your church to honor you and worship you. And Lord, thank you especially in the midst of many uncertain things going on to be faithful to us, to protect us from the virus, and also to, Lord, just allow us to be able to meet together as your church. And so, Lord, as we look at the mountain, where will our help come from? Our help comes from you, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, even though many uncertainties of life, even in the days of old, Lord, they could have looked at things that causes insecurity and, Lord, just shaking of our faith. Even. Lord, would you help us to look at the mountain? The maker of heaven and earth, and from you that our security and help will come. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, once again, to be together, to worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. Well, I guess my Thanksgiving is, oh my goodness, this is the greatest number of people come together thus far after the virus. So I trust that everybody here are safe members. Safe members mean that you have not shown any symptom for the past 14 days, roughly around that time, and then you have not been with people who were sick for 14 days. So with that, I think we're relatively safe. You know, we still won't hug each other. So Juan, just be careful not to go around hugging people. And we'll keep our masks on. We'll spray with our sprays. You know, I carry this around all the time and I spray, you know, and I go out of the car, come in the car, you know, and I spray other people. So even if you have some kind of you touch something, that your hands will be clean. So let's continue to keep ourselves protected so that we can protect the worship. But in any case, if somebody catches the virus and they come to church, then we're off for 2 weeks. So that's the way. If you want to scatter the church people, go catch a virus and come, and then we're done for. So that means you have to protect yourself outside so we could maintain the service together. But in any case also, if somebody contracts a virus, and that is God's will, so be it. So we will work with that, you know. So we can be careful, but safety belongs to who? The Lord. So you can never eliminate risk. Even if you're driving in the freeway, I'm risking my life coming from Monterey to here all the time. Oh, Monterey Park. Now, Monterey way up there north. So we are risking our lives in many things we do. But who's the protector? The Lord. And so that's where our confidence is. May we find our peace and confidence in the Lord. Another Thanksgiving is yesterday. I had a great dinner time with one of my older brother from Korea when I was at IT. We lived in the same house in the basement floor. He was the senior brother of all the team leaders who were living together. And so then he came here and he's now a pastor. I think he came and spoke for us once. He's the more charismatic brother, a navigator who turned charismatic. So, but now he said, yeah, I realized that we need to keep it a balance. So he used to be a lot more charismatic, but he's kind of toned down. So we had a great time talking about the old days. I'm doing a series on Jehovah, the Lord, right? Jehovah Rapha, God the healer, Jehovah Jireh, God the provider, Jehovah Nissi, God our banner, and Jehovah sikano, God, our righteousness. And so we're going to go on, but I thought I'd take a break and do a special topic because it just came to my mind a couple of weeks ago, actually, as I was having man-to-man with Kaushik. Is Kaushik here? Kaushik, we pray for India. We should have prayed for the locusts too. I heard locusts are coming in New Delhi, in the northern part of New Delhi. So as I was having one-to-one, we covered give generously. Give generously. So I started to talk about tithing with Kaushik. And just, you know, it happened that a couple of guys were in STP. So we decided to just do verse meditation with Kevin and Kaushik. And so the idea of tithing came out, giving generously. And that kind of reminded me, you know, when was the last time I spoke on giving? When was the last time? I said it was before Josh left for China, right? Sometimes before, about half a year or something like that, right? So that's been about 3 years. So, but at that time, I decided I should be faithful to preach on this at least every other year. Because I did a great job. I think I did a great job in my first three generations of my discipling, in my college days, the generations after that. But somehow after that, to the East Coast generation and other campuses as we expanded, somehow I didn't teach on giving that much until just recently. So actually, this is a very important part of discipleship. This is an area that all disciples need to grow. Who is your discipler? Jesus. Okay, that's the big Jesus, big discipler. I, as the little shepherd, S, little shepherd, you know, or I could call myself a sheepdog. In this church, I am your discipler. Okay, so you got the big discipler right here, and your immediate disciplers are your disciplers too. But ultimately, in this church, this ministry, I am responsible to disciple you. So through my teachings, you know, I might not be able to meet with you individually all the time, but I just want you to know your pastor is your discipler. So when I'm teaching and preaching, giving you various Bible studies, you know, it's to disciple you. So I share this in the way of one of the major area Christ disciples need to grow. And I want to share it from not as a clergy pastor to congregation. I want to consider myself as a layman, actually. Because most of my life, being in the Navigators, I consider myself a layman. I'm not a seminary ordained pastor who does the clergy kind of the full time. But ever since I was in college and in the Navigators in Korea, Navigators here, I consider myself more like a volunteer. Even my fundraising was very small, and I didn't consider myself being, you know, paid for what I'm doing. You see what I'm saying? So my giving in the ministry, I just always felt I'm volunteering. And a few hundred dollars comes in, oh, praise the Lord, that's great. And also in the midst of that, I like to consider myself also a disciple of Christ, you know, that I'm trying to live out being a disciple. And so I had my history of, you know, giving to God. I started out in my younger days. My first giving was $20 to, guess who? Tom Steers. Tom Steer was my later supervisor, but he came to our USC Navigator Fellowship with my discipler Shin, David Shin, and he gave his like introduction about how he's going to Brazil and he's going to be a missionary. So my discipler called me. So man, how much are you gonna, you know, give to missionary, you know, Tom Steers? So this is what I mean, is that disciples not only teach, but they have to kind of follow through. So he asked me, like, okay, I think I could give $20 from whatever my parents gives me. I didn't make money during my junior year. So I started giving $20, and that was a blessed experience, because every time I give the $20, I just had to think, why am I giving $20? I'm giving it to God. I'm giving it to God's mission. And so that's when my heart for mission, or awareness of mission, started by giving $20. Isn't that amazing? And then I became started earning like $600. Like, whoa, you know, it's like when you guys are students, you know, you're kind of scrounging for money, right? But you don't realize once you start making money, and you guys are making so much money, if you're working out in the industry, it's like thousands of dollars, right? For me, it was like $600 for TA ships. Whoa, this is so much more than I've ever got. So I started tithing, you know, from that, but I also gave $300 to my mother. And so I said, you know, I've been giving, and along the way, depending on whatever money I do get, I try to tithe there. And probably the real tithe, because most of them was anywhere from a $500 to $1,000 a month. And so not much of a tithe. But then I became a teacher, 2000, right? I said, I'm going to be a pastor, so I should know what it means to work. So I decided to get a credential and started working. Got thousands of dollars, $3,000 or so in a first check. Wow, I've never had this much money. So of course I tied it, but I just kind of start to get a little greedy. Oh my goodness. If I could get validation of my working experience at USC, and if I could get validation of all the courses I took, you know, the points go up for teachers. So I was getting all excited. Oh, I want to get more pay. But then the Lord convicted me. I was getting greedy for money. So I said, oh my goodness, this is not good. I've never been greedy for money. And so I said, okay, I'm going to give more generously. So I try to give more tithes. And then I start, you know, giving and loaning some money to my family. And so my cousin's business was not going well. I loaned $22,000. And then the business folded, so they couldn't pay me back. So even that, well, you know, pay me back when you can. And so they paid me back about $6,000. And then finally, recently, they paid me back another $1,600. But I just put that into the mission center. And so, but the secret I learned from that is when you get more money, you could get very greedy for it. You want more. And then you can't control that heart unless you start dispensing it, giving back to God, and even using it for other people's purpose. So, but anyway, I'm saying that I want to share this from a disciple's point of view, you know, not a clergy that, you know, when you tithe, it comes to those who are serving the Lord. So it says here, honor the Lord with your wealth and from the first fruit of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will brim over with new wine, in another version, you know? And so this is a proverb passage, but it's reiterating a command that we are to use our wealth to honor God, you know? And the scripture is full of, we'll cover the Old Testament mentioning of tithes, and then the New Testament mentioning. But just to understand the meaning of tithe, it literally means in Hebrews, tenth. So 10%, right? A tenth, a portion set apart to give back to God according to his command. So you notice it's giving back to God, because who gave you 100% in the first place? This is actually a first concept you need to really understand in your mind. The prideful thinking is, I got the job. I worked and I made the money, so this is my money. But then again, who gave you life? God. Who gave you the intelligence to be able to do these things? God. Who gave you the health? God, you know? So who opened the door for a job? God. So we need to understand everything that we have is from God, and 10% of what God gave me is still God's. So we're giving back what is God's, back to himself, as a symbol, actually, of, you know, declaring that, you know, I love God more than these. So God knows that when we get this 100%, we could fall into this greed. You know, like what I experienced when I got $3,000 for the first time, I felt kind of greedy and I wanted more. So this tithe thing is actually breaking the potential greed that the enemy could promote. How many of you experienced this greed? When you got money, you want more, you know? So the way to do, so giving back tithe is to say, God, money doesn't define me. You know, I could give 10% back to you, you know, and decide the fact it's a command. You know, I want to give it back to you for your purpose. There's definitely other purposes for these. So in the Bible, tithe, it's a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the tree, belongs to God, and it is holy. Oh my goodness, it says that everything that comes out of the land belongs to God. Actually, 100% belongs to God. What I just said is in this verse. And it is holy. The whole 100% is actually holy, but especially the tithe that God commands is holy. It's his. He said, I gave you everything, just give me back 10th, you know, and the whole 100% is holy, but the 10th that we are to return to God is definitely holy. It's a holy offering unto the Lord. Three types of tithe, Leviticus, sacred tithes and festival tithes and charity tithes, and it's to be given in special occasion. But normally the Levitical tithes that's commanded is normally twice a year, and on the third year, three times. So, you know, some, you know, these days we tend to give monthly or quarterly or whatnot, but in the Old Testament period, that's the way it was. Tithe is 10% of your income that you give first. So 10% out of the top of what God gives us is the tithe. And then offering is anything extra that you give beyond that. So there's a talk about, you know, especially in the last book. What's the last book? Malachi. Malachi said, bring your tithes and offerings to my house. So tithe is the 10%, but if you want to give more, anything after that is called offering. It's an offering for various occasions, Thanksgiving offering, you know, burnt offering, sacrificial offering, and, you know, give offering to the poor and for celebration, feast tithes, and there's various kinds. But normally tithes are out of the top, you know, of 10% of the whatever income that you acquire. And it is to be brought to the house of God, to be the house of God. So the tithe is not to be like managed by yourself. God didn't say, break up the tithe and use it as you want. It's a 10% you bring to the storehouse of God. So what is the storehouse of God in the New Testament? Essentially the church. So, and so then if you want to give more as an offering, then you could give Thanksgiving offering, missionary offering, or whatnot in the New Testament. So tithe is an expression of the heart saying, God, I love you more than wealth or money, that I trust you even without the 10%. You know? So it's like, if you have plenty, then 10% may not be much. But if you have little, 10% could be a lot. But interestingly, who did Jesus praise during Matthew? Sermon on the Mount? There was a, you know, Pharisee who's giving a lot of money out of plenty that he had. But there was a poor widow who only had 2 talents, and she gave it all. And that's what Jesus praised. So, you know, to give 10% sometimes may be, you know, difficult in your situation. But, you know, when you do, it is an act of trusting God, act of trusting God. So there's a kind of a story. I heard it in a Christian station. And this young lady, African-American, she was having a difficult time making a living. She decided to go to police academy, and she became a policeman. And then she started earning a lot of money, thousands of dollars, I'm sure 3,000, 4,000, maybe more. But she didn't know how to use the money, so she just started spending all over the place. And soon as you knew it, she got into debt. So she bought a car, she bought this, she bought that. And so she spent more than she could make. And so she went into debt. She couldn't even pay her rent anymore. And so around that time, she met a Christian and she started going to church. And she got some counsel. And yet, because she has so much debt, she still had a hard time paying for the rent. But she heard that God, you know, blesses us and he wants us to tithe. And so she decided, even when she had not enough, she decided to tithe from whatever the money she was making as a policewoman. And when she did, suddenly God gave her opportunity in a apartment complex that she could be a manager of the apartment complex. And she asked, so how much do I have to pay? And she said, they said, no, you don't have to pay anything. If you're a manager, you get a free apartment. So she was able to manage the apartment in the daytime and work at nighttime or something. And then she was able to pay off all her loans and get back on her feet again. So this is a kind of a testimony of a person who started tithing and God rewarded her, blessed her. So I guess the first example of offering may be of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. If you turn to Genesis 4, let's turn to Genesis 4. 3-5. Jeremy, you can read that one.
Okay. Genesis 4:3-5. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offerings, he did not look with favor. Mm. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast. Mm.
So it doesn't say it's a tithe, but it's an offering. So even from the very first with Adam and Eve and their children, there was a concept of offering back to God what God has given. So I wouldn't say this is the first tithing, but it may be related with tithing because somehow the portion that Cain gave, God did not look at his offering with favor, but he looked at Abel's offering with favor. And the way he describes it, he brought some fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. So actually, firstborn does kind of allude to tithing. The firstborn are to be offered to God. And so the fat, it says, brought some portions, fat portions. If you want to bring portions, you know what you have to do? You have to kill an animal to get the fatty portion. But it's not one portion, but it's portions. So he definitely killed more than one animal to bring to God, it says, the firstborn. So the best of the flock he dedicated to the Lord. But somehow, Cain's portion, it just said he brought some fruit of the soil as an offering, but it didn't say first fruit. It says fruit. To give to God the first fruit, that means once he got some fruit, he should have brought the very best first fruit to God. But it just say he brought fruit. But somehow, whether this is true or not, you know, God didn't look at it with pleasure. And what we know for sure, though, Abel did it with faith, trusting God. Cain did not trust God. It was not an offering of faith. So this is something we see from the early on. But the real first tithing really starts with Abraham. So this is before Moses is, the law giving in the Sinai Desert, you know, the instruction to tithe, the portion to be given to the Levites. This is Abraham, you know how he had a war because Lot was taken from Sodom and Gomorrah. It was like, I'm not sure, it was like five kings against four kings or something like that. And the five kings won and they took all the people from Sodom and Gomorrah, including Lot. And Abraham was told, and he took his 300 soldiers, and he overcame the kings, and he took all the battle booties, right? You know, spoil, right? So he brought all the spoil, and so as he was coming back, he met a man named Melchizedek. But for sure, he is known to be a priest of the God Most High. So without the Levites and the priests during Moses' days, there was a priest unto God. And his name is Melchizedek. And he's the one who had no genealogy, but he's also called the King of Salem, King of Peace. It's almost like very same name as Jesus. So some people might think of him as Christophany, but others think that, yes, he had mother and father, but he just didn't have a genealogy. There's no record of his genealogy. So he was a real man, but he was also a priest for God. And Abraham definitely recognized him as a priest of God Most High. So because he worked to intercede on behalf of the people, to talk to God and then speak to the people. So that's what priests do. So Abraham knew that he's a priest of God. And so what he did was he gave 1/10 of all the spoil and gave to Melchizedek. So yes, there's a concept of offering, even from the days of Adam and Eve. And there, I'm sure it spread in the vicinity of other cultures as well. But definitely for Abraham, he knew there was this priest of God, recognized him. And he also knew of what God wanted. So before the Levitical command came out, there must have been some understanding when you receive certain portion of, you know, your produce, the fruit or the planted harvest, you're supposed to give 10th to God. So, you know, in Genesis 26:5, it says, because Abraham obeyed me and he did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees and instructions. So God definitely gave Abraham a command, decrees and instructions. So Abraham kept all that. So one of those is this tithing. So because he was blessed with God giving him victory, out of gratefulness, God gave it to me. So he offered it back to God through Melchizedek. So again, I'm going to share this. This ties in with the New Testament. So that's one, Jacob, and his... this is a time when he was sleeping and he saw what is it ladder to heaven and angels going up and down, and he says, surely this is where God is, and I did not know of it. And then he said, God, if you keep me in this land and protect me and bring me back to my family's home later on, then I will give you 10th. The stone that I set up as a pillar will be God's house, and all that you give me, I will give you a 10th. I'll give you a 10th. So, but there's no record of actually Jacob giving the 10th, but actually he gave the 10th of all his descendants. He had 12 tribes. One of the tribe was Levi. And the command continued to go on to give 10th of Israel back to God. But the command, of course, comes from, different places. The two passages we thought of is Leviticus 27:30 and Deuteronomy 12. It says, thus all the tithe of the land and the seed of the land of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's, and it's holy. There you shall bring your burnt offering, your sacrifice, your tithe contribution of your hand to your votive offerings. And votive means volition, I think, right? Volitional offering, your free will offering, and firstborn of your hand, and, to bring your flock. So there's definitely a command in with the Leviticus time that God instructs Israel to give the tithe, 10. Back to God. So we're pretty sure that tithing is something that's clearly commanded. As examples given, clearly commanded. Tithing and offerings in the New Testament. Let's see. What does Jesus think about tithing? Well, Jesus really don't talk about tithing, but he praises people who give offerings to God. Right? So to the Pharisee in Matthew, he actually, this is a passage he rebukes the Pharisee. Okay. Connor, I want to read this for us.
Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. Yeah.
That's affirmation of Jesus. He was rebuking the Pharisees because they were giving these spice, mint, dill, kind of, these are the, what they acquired from their harvest. And they gave a tithe, but they showed off saying, I'm giving my tithe to God. And that becomes a spiritual recognition. But in the real matter of obedience to God, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, you neglect. You're hypocrites. So this shows that giving tithe is not everything to, following Jesus or worshiping God. Is that right? So it's tithe plus. Tithe is a matter of wealth, how we need to return a portion to God. But this is not the only command. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love others as yourself. Love completes the law. So there's many areas of the law, and especially showing justice, mercy, and faithfulness to people is something else you should do. But the Pharisees were just showing off with their tithe. So just giving tithe is not enough. You need to be obeying God in all areas of his commands. But what did Jesus say at the end? You should not practice the latter, mercy, justice, mercy, and faithfulness, and neglect the first. That means, what's the first? The tithing. Yes, you should show justice, mercy, and faithfulness, but don't neglect the tithing. So Jesus is acknowledging the tithing as well. But, New Testament is of new covenant with even greater blessing of the Holy Spirit. So yes, definitely the Old Testament commands are to be heeded, but when you come to the New Testament and you have the Holy Spirit, it's just a totally new ball game. So what flows with the filling of the Holy Spirit? All right. Jesse, why don't you read that for us?
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need.
This is the time when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. 120 people who received the Holy Spirit, outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Pentecost that we were talking about. And then they were like devoting themselves to come and listen more to the apostles' teaching, fellowshipping, breaking of bread, doing communion, praying together. Everyone is filled with awe at the many signs and wonder the performed by the apostles. So there's miracles taking place because there's power present. Then all believers were together and had everything in common. I told you that Christians are the true communists. Because we have the love of Christ, we could truly communally share. Different from the political communism. They sold properties, possession to give to anyone who has needs. Wow. When they were filled with the Holy Spirit, overflowing generosity was an evidence of the Holy Spirit. If that generosity is not present, that means simply you're not filled with the Spirit. Christian generosity is automatic with the coming of the Holy Spirit. No matter how like selfish you were before, I was a little concerned about actually Lauren and Mike when they were growing up in UCLA. Lauren, you know, these guys living together, these guys are like exacting of every cent. So they would go out and buy food, and you know, they're different now. They're different now. I'm just saying that's how they were before. Like, you know, they go out and buy food. This is my food. That's your food. And how much do I owe you? To the cent. Yeah, so it's just like these guys are two of a kind. They both are the same. And I was just kind of really concerned. These guys, Christians are not like that. You know, they have to say, hey, let me cover that for you. You know, let me buy that for you. You have to be a blesser of each other and not be so exacting. But now, you know, Lauren is really generous. He's giving, and the Lord has helped them to overcome the old ways. But the thing is, this is the reality of Asians in this generation. I heard like Asian guy married to an Asian girl, and even after they got married, my bank account, your bank account, my food, your food in the refrigerator, still the same after they got married. Before coronavirus. And I was thinking, that must be the way Asian American is. Very like, you know, my possession, your possession. You know, even after you get married. So it's like, wow, they need the Holy Spirit. They need to become a Christian, and they need the Holy Spirit to be able to be generous, you know. So Holy Spirit coming into us, it's not even tithing. It's like selling your house, giving it to the apostle. Let's use it for everyone. Wow, that's the extent. That's the extent of New Testament offering. At the minimum tithing, but going beyond the tithing and giving offering. And I remember I told you that one time I went to a missionary conference in San Diego. And so the hotel was so full. Korean guys here, they put us into a navigator home nearby. And this navigated couple hosted us, and they were saying, you know, and I saw them making a lot of one of those like flower pot, you know. They had lots of them, and so I said, why do you have so much flower pots? They said, oh, we're doing a business, we're making this and selling it, and we want to give to more missionaries. Right now, we're giving about 40% of our finance to the missionaries, and we want to give more. Oh my goodness, exposure, guys. You know why? If I say give it all up, well, there's people who demonstrated already who are very generous, and that could only come from, you know, Holy Spirit Christian generosity. That makes sense. And so, what does Paul say? Paul say, you know, 2 Corinthians 6:9-9, you know, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously, sows reaps generously. So it's about generosity. Christian New Testament giving is not only tithing, but generosity beyond that. Minimum could be a tithing, but it should be more generosity. And some people have gone into not tithing, but 20%, 30% in giving back to God. And I'll tell you why, though. You know, the reasons are coming. And it says here, Melchizedek. I said Melchizedek. This is, I said Paul because Hebrews, they don't know the author of Hebrews. They think author of Hebrews may or may not be Paul. So I'll just put it under Paul. You know how Melchizedek, the king of Salem, the priest of God Most High, he met Jesus, he met Abraham returning from defeat of kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave 10th of everything. First name, Melchizedek means king of righteousness, king of peace, Salem peace. Oh yeah, there's there. Salem means king of peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning and the end. Resembling who? The Son of God. You see, if you would think who is the most closest to the New Testament Christian in the Old Testament, who is it? Abraham. Next, David. Abraham received righteousness by faith. Don't you read in Romans? That's what he said. Don't you know that Abraham received righteousness, imputed righteousness of Christ by faith before he was circumcised? Circumcision came afterwards. So he was already righteous because he believed in God. So Abraham is most close to the imputed righteousness by faith. Did I say something wrong? Okay, all right. Yeah, my Korean fobbishness is coming out. You know, when I get excited, my fobbishness come out, guys. Abraham, right? I could be pretty on target. But when I get tired or lazy, I could get lazy too, actually. So why is this in the New Testament support of a tithing? Is because who are the descendants of Abraham? We who are in Christ Jesus. We have received the promise. Just like when Abraham, by faith, he received righteousness and he met Melchizedek, who is similar to Jesus, the new priestly line, not the Levites and the Levites priest, Levitical priest. That's a different line. But Jesus came out of Judah, right? So it's a different tribe. So Melchizedek, he's like Jesus who has no genealogy. He is the king of righteousness. He's a king of Salem. He's a king of peace. So this Melchizedek line of priesthood is where Christ is associated. So when Abraham gave tithing to Melchizedek, it's like giving tithe to Jesus. Does that make sense? So the concept of tithing back to God is in the Old Testament, but it's not something to disregard in the New Testament. But even to go beyond with the Holy Spirit being willing to offer to God even far more. Okay, so having covered that, why tithe and give offerings to God? Okay, so we're going to just go zipping through because we have 14 minutes, and I'm going to cover 9 points. Because I don't want to drag this on. I don't want to drag this on because you know what's up, and I'm not trying to force you to like tithe. This is from God, right? So let's go one by one by one, cover 1 points, okay? Why? Number one. Okay, Lauren, give us the first part.
Read the first part.
To honor and worship God with your wealth. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Proverbs 3:9-10.
Okay. Continue read everything.
Tithing is an act of faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And without faith, it is impossible to please him.
So, God calls us to tithe to honor the Lord, worship the Lord with our wealth. So to tithe and give 10% back, if not with other offerings, is to say, God, I love you more than these. I worship you. And you are worthy. You are worthy of my 100%, but here's my 10. It's worshiping and honoring God, but it's an act of faith. Because you're going to say, I could live without 10%. And plus, it's God's anyway. And plus, God is the one who's going to bless me as I trust God and believe in God. So that's why he says, if you honor the Lord, first of all, your barns will be filled to plenty. Your vats will overflow with new wine. The blessing is coming. I mean, that's another point. But here for Cain and Abel, you know, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice of faith. That's why he was called righteous. Testifying about the gift through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. You know what? In offering to God, tithes is an act of faith. So when you do anything act of faith, it is remembered as a testimony. If you don't tithe, what would other people think about that? Oh, well, you kept your money. Nothing much to it. You know, not much. But you know what? The tenth sometimes can become harder when you earn a lot more money. What's the 10% of $100? Would you be willing to give God $10? How about, nope. No problem. how about like $1,000? $1,000 is? No problem. Now, how about $10,000?
$1,000.
How about $100,000? $10,000. If you get a business and you get $1 million, how much 10% of that? So, you know, if you are in love with money, this is a good test. If you're in love with money, that's hard. If you're in love with God, that's not a problem. You got to remember that. If you're in love with God, knowing that God loved me with that 100%, 10% is no problem. That's how J.C. Penney, Lucky companies, those are all Christian companies who made it a point to give 10% no matter how much they earn. You know, there's many, I don't know if In-N-Out does that. I hope that they do that. Okay, next point. Next point, go ahead.
To not rob God. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Malachi 3:8-9.
Whole nation of you. That's all of Israel. Israel got used to not tithing and robbing God. Robbing God. And so this is a small portion God is asking them to return to God. There is a purpose for this. It'll soon be coming. But to not give the 10% back for God's purpose, God is calling you robbing. You're robbing from me. Because it's a holy portion. It's holy to God. And we're not returning the holy portion that God instructed. You're robbing God. I mean, robbing people is one thing, but you rob God. Oh my goodness. It says what happened? You're cursed. With a curse for robbing me, the whole nation of you. Wow, that's pretty scary. What's next?
Thus, all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord.
That's why you're robbing if you're not giving the tithe. Okay? So like I said, I shared this to you as a fellow disciple. Now, this is something we are to do together. Okay, next one.
To earnestly covet God's blessings. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." He gave him a tenth of all. Genesis 14:18-20.
So I asked the question, why did Abraham give the tithe to Melchizedek? Well, he is honored as the priest of God Most High. But also, he gave the tithe to be blessed by the God, priest of God Most High. You know, in James, it says, if you're sick, go receive prayer from your elders and be healed. There's a place where God wants us to get blessings from your... We could be blessed by one another, but from a high priest or even from spiritual leaders, elders of the church, we need to value the blessing. You know what Jacob did crossing the river? He met an angel. What did he do? He wrestled him until, "I won't let you go until you bless me." So the blessing from God versus a curse from people, or it's total different. We need to be blessed by God in order to further, you know, receive the best of the land rather than the curse of the land. So you want to do things that God will bless you for it. It pleases God. You need to do what is pleasing to God to receive God's blessing, not the curse. It says here, a whole nation of you refuse to do it, so you're cursed. So, to earnestly covet God's blessing. And this blessing is not only financial, but general. I mean, finance is not the only blessing in life, right? Your marriage blessing, your children blessing. Ed, you asked for it. You got two kids. You better start praying, "God, bless my kids. I want to be blessed. I want to have my family be blessed." And children are just unpredictable. You know, even the godly, I've seen godly parents have terrible children. They try to do their best, but somehow they just didn't turn out well. Namely, Eli in the Bible, Dustin Troutman, you know, their kids didn't turn out well somehow. So you need the blessing of God in a general aspects of your life, your even professional life, your family life, your children life, your, you know, future direction life. God needs to bless the direction that you go. If you want the general blessing, we need to offer tithes and offering, much like Abraham to Melchizedek, we to Christ, God. Okay, next one. Go ahead.
To prosper and overflow by God's doing, not by your own striving. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts.
Well, you know, it says bring the whole tithe into the storehouse of God, so that there may be food in my house. Test me now. This is the only place that says test me. God says test me, not anywhere else. Test me. He wants us to test him by giving to him. See if I do not open on the windows of heaven, pour out the blessing until it overflows, and all the nations will call you blessed, for you have been a delightful land. You shall be a delightful land. Wow. We shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So this is a promise that if we trust God and give to him and test him even, he's going to be pouring the blessing unto us to overflow. That's the kind of wealth you want to acquire. I mean, having more is not necessarily bad unless you fall into temptation of money greed, and money is the root of all evil, right? If you, before you gain more, you know what I would suggest? You need to know how to use in the right way. Don't just want more money, more wealth. What are you going to do with it? You have to have a vision and mission for that. You know, so if you want more, you got to say, God, give me more so I could give more. I can support. That person in San Diego said, we're making these plants because we want to give more to the missionaries. Not, I want more money so I could buy another car. But it was just like, I want to make some more money so that we could support more missionaries. Oh my goodness. Such a godly purpose of wanting more money, right? And so if you do get more money, I hope it's not by your own striving. You're conniving. You're, you know, calculating to make more, get more. And I would say one of the temptation is probably the stocks. Stocks is a great temptation. Ah, if I catch it at the right time, maybe I could double this money. You know, by the way, I mean, there's nothing that talks about stock in the Bible. But trusting the system takes our hope in God away from God to those systems. If it's a stock, that's a stock. If it's a job, it's a job, you know. So, but that's probably not encouraged. So anyway, next one, number five, who's next? Ed, you could go on.
To bring food to God's storehouse for his ministry workers, Numbers 18:20-21. To the sons of Levi, behold, I have given all the tithe in Israel for an inheritance in return for their service which they perform, the service of the tent of meeting. Numbers 18:21. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land nor any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the sons of Israel. Numbers 18:20. A tithe of the tithe, Numbers 18:26.
That means Levites were instructed tithe from their tithes. Yeah, go ahead.
The priest, the son of Aaron, shall be with the Levites when the Levites receive tithes. And the Levites shall bring up the tenth of the tithes to the house of God, to the chambers of the storehouse. For the sons of Israel and the sons of Levi shall bring the contribution of the grain, the new wine, and the oil to the chambers. There are the utensils of the sanctuary, the priests who are ministering, the gatekeepers, and the singers. Thus, we will not neglect the house of our God. Nehemiah 10:38-39.
Okay. So, God calls all of 11 tribes of Israel to tithe, 1/10. And so that this tithe, actually, is a offering unto God as a worship, but that tithe is to be used for the Levites. Why? The Levites did not get an inheritance of a land. All the tribes had their own land, but Levites had no land. But what they were given was cities in the land, in the different tribes. They had cities to dwell in, but they didn't have land to plant and make business of, you know, harvest. So they had no inheritance of the land. So what, in order for them to, their livelihood was the 10%. It's interesting because Levites are not that much, as much as the other tribes. So they actually acquire more of these harvest, oil, you know, fruit, you know, animal, you know, meat, from the offerings. They actually had plenty to live by. But there was a time when, I think it was Joshua, when he distributed the land the people stopped giving tithe to the Levites. So the Levites left their temple service and they went to the field to make food for themselves. When God reserved the Levites and the priest and the Levites to do the temple work or to the work of priestly service, teaching of the word as well. But when they stopped giving the tithe, they couldn't survive. So they went to work and plant, feed for themselves. And then Joshua rebuked them. And so they start giving, and then the Levites were able to do their work of service, full-time work of service. You know how God formed the tribe of Levi? Why did God create a Levi just to do full-time service for the king, for the temple? When the Israelites were coming out of Egypt, they were supposed to give every firstborn who was supposed to be killed, they were spared. Every firstborn were spared, and so that firstborn should be offered to God for God's service. But instead of taking every firstborn of every tribes of Israel, God said, I'm going to ordain Levites to represent those firstborn of all of Israel. Replace the firstborn of every family. The Levites are going to be dedicated for the service of God. So all the firstborn of Israel are supposed to be offering their firstborn to serve God. But just to make the life, I guess, matter simpler, he just dedicated one tribe to represent that firstborn. And so everybody in the Levi family, they all serve God full time. They helped the priest. This priest came out of that. Helpers of priests came out of that. Singers came out of that. Temple workers came out of that. They're all full-time workers. And how did they get supported? By the tithes of the 11 tribes. Somehow I think they have 10% more somehow. I just could figure the math out. But so God has blessed them even with more. So in the New Testament, go ahead and read the next verse.
For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us, because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. 1 Corinthians 9, 9-10.
So this is regarding, you know, those who are in the service of God. Muzzling, who's serving God, muzzling an ox, muzzling an ox, the worker, the muzzling ox. If somebody's muzzling an ox, you know, don't muzzle. I mean, the muzzling, when somebody is working with an ox, don't muzzle it. Don't prevent it, hinder it. You need to continue to feed or supply. It says, because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. So those who are full-time workers, now in the New Testament, are full-time workers. The Levites in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, anyone who does full-time ministry are those who are living for the service of God's house, the church, the mission field, and so on. So it was meant for the 10% of the 11 tribe to support the full-time temple workers. So this is God's practical plan. So I said a long time ago, really, it's like this. Jeremy, come on up here. It's like, Jeremy is the, okay, he's the Levi. He's the Levi. I am the very prosperous, Israelite from one of the tribes. This year's produce was amazingly fruitful. Oh, 10% isn't quite a lot, but I'm going to give it to God. So I bring the 10%. I go before the king. I go before the
before the Levi. So they collected in the Levi city. It's not in Jerusalem yet. Levi city. So I said, God, this is, I'm thankful for my produce. Here's my 10%. So I'm not giving this 10% directly to Levi, but I'm giving this to God. So I'm throwing up to the air. God, it's your hand. So when I give it, I'm giving it to God. But when the Levi receives it, guess how he receives it?
From God.
From heaven. He got the blessing from God. So I give to God, but when the Levi gets it, you know, it's for God. So you give tithing or offerings in the church.
Make sure you remember, you're not giving that money directly to me. It's not that transaction. Transaction is you, when you give tithing and offering, you're giving it to God as a obedience and worship unto God. And then from having collected as a Levi, you know, God allows to use it for our sustenance in some way. Got it? Same thing with missionaries. When you're giving to missionaries, don't think your check is going directly to Ed. Your check is coming into, you know, the post box, you know, and we go through the process with Jesse, you know, and it goes through, and then finally the money is in the bank and then goes out through a check. But when it goes out to the check to Ed, it's from God. Not directly from you. You gave it to God. They're getting it directly from God. Okay, next.
To promote equality in the body of Christ. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. 2 Corinthians 8:13-15.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
So there is actually a concept of equity. Equity in the body of Christ. Equity in the body of Christ. You know, if we are all God's children to be provided for appropriately, why should only some people have a lot and some people have very little? Then it's not equal. Right? So that's why it says, one who gathers much did not have too much, because they make tithes and offerings back to God. And the one who gathered little did not have too little, because they receive, like Levi's, from God. Does that make sense? So, all right, guys, I'm an electrical engineer, master's, in fact. If I worked outside right now, how much do you think I could earn? Maybe between 50 and 100K. Maybe more. Nowadays, it's gone up. Maybe 100K. Now, after all these years of experience, if I was an engineer. Oh, really? Maybe I should just quit this and go to work?
Yeah.
Well, forget this full-time work here. I would get like $500 to $1,000 a month all my life, most of my life. So, but what was it supposed to be? The other tribes who are workers, they have their own land, their own profession, are supposed to tithe to provide for the full-time workers. Now, like I say, I'm not saying this so that you could give me more. I mean, you're not giving me, you're giving to God, right? So let's say if there's 10 workers averaging about let's average $50,000. Okay. 10 workers here averaging $50,000. And there's one full-time worker. Okay. I guess that's it for this church. I'm the full-time worker. So if everybody tithes, then how much should that 10% from the 10 worker come to be? 50,000? around, I mean, close. Then it's equal. Does that make sense? Yeah, for you. I told you that Levi's get a little more. Levi's get a little more. So relatively equal. Relatively equal. See what I'm saying? Well, anyway, actually, our yearly income has been about 50, 55,000 in the church. You know, funds coming in. And I decided that our church will give 50% to the missions. So most of that's been going to the building now. So I get about, 25, you know, a little more, 25. No, 25? Yeah. 27. But last couple of years, I kind of just took about 15,000. So the other, I just gave it to the church, not the church, training center. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. So I'm not seeking for money, and I don't want, even if there are, you know, I'm going to monitor how much I'm going to take. But in the way of equity, you know, I want to encourage you first to worship God, but be also aware that the tithe that comes in supports the full-time workers. Ideally, what I want to do is, as the working ministry that we want to establish this summer, we want to support our missionaries more with prominent support. Ed in particular, because Ed didn't have a big church, you know, so, you know, if he's short at the end of the year, we need to have money to support him. Thankfully, somebody kind of fills it up right now, but I'm not sure how long he could do that. So, but our church has to have the capacity to support more than me, but even the missionaries in the future. My thinking was, you know, if every 10 missionary give 10%, I mean, 10 professional give 10%, I think we could support one missionary, one pastor, one missionary, et cetera. So that's roughly the way I'm thinking. Okay, we're way over. So let's see, last two, three things. Okay, go ahead. Jeremy, you just do it.
To not grieve the Holy Spirit through lack of generosity. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need.
Next.
Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land?
So their thinking is, Holy Spirit spoke to him to sell the house, and give it all. But somehow Satan got in between and only gave half, saying, lying, that it's the full amount. So actually, the point about both of this is Holy Spirit is the one who moves us to give not only tithes, even more offerings generously. And when he does, we need to follow through the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves us to give that way and we change your mind, then, you know, that's deceiving the Holy Spirit. One of my offering thing is, along the way, I was thinking, I wasn't praying, but I was just kind of thinking, I want people to donate to our training center, but I had two, what do you call it, retirement that I didn't start. One's from the navigators that I didn't know about, and then I had the school I taught for 5 years, and they put some retirement stuff in there. So one was about 40,000, the other is 30,000. So I decided, you know, if I want other people to give, I should be willing to give my fund. So I decided to what do you call it? You know, disassemble liquidate both. So, but the 40,000 became 59,000, guys. And so that became that, and the school is at 3,000, so it's like together is about 90,000. So, but the 10% has to be taxed, so taking out that 80,000, I decide to pour it into that. And that's what the Holy Spirit moved me at that time to do. So I'm 59 is in there. So I'm just going to fill in about 20 more thousand. So in doing that, but if I say, oh, I'm kind of regretting, maybe I should keep the other other one, but actually I am going to keep one alive, but I'm going to fill in the 30,000 that it's selling for 30,000. So I'm going to fill that up. So anyway, when the Holy Spirit moves, that's what we want to obey. Next.
To experience God in his supernatural provision. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
I hope every one of you get rich God's way. I hope you get rich God's way. And God's way is give generously, and you will reap generously. That's the principle. And give with cheerful heart. Give with cheerful heart. If you do it reluctantly, it's like even if you could give, but it's not taken as a true sacrifice. So give generously and give cheerfully, and God is able to bless you abundantly. Abundantly, you will abound in everything. I hope you get testimonies of his faithfulness. As you give generously, cheerfully, God will give you testimony. I did this, and God did this. Yesterday, when I went to hang out with our older brother in the Navigators, he did a lot of missionary work traveling to like equip missionaries overseas. And he said he racked up the points in Asiana that he became a member, the lifetime member or something. And all, you know, to get there, you know how much flight you need to take? There's a lot of flight, but he said every one of those God provided for me. So he has so many testimony when he needed to go somewhere to train people in this place. He was in China for several years. God always provided for him. So when you give generously, God will give you testimonies of his faithfulness to add to you. Last.
To offer to God your best from the first fruits of your harvest. Bring the best of the first fruits of your soil to the house of the Lord your God. Exodus 23:19.
It's like giving your firstborn to God. You don't give to God, offer to God your lastborn. You know, firstborn is, the special. You know, Jesus is the firstborn, you know, very, very special. Out of the fruit, you want to give the first fruit to God. You don't want to use for all you need and, you know, like rent, payment, everything you do it. Then out of the leftover, let me give 10%. That's not it. You give 10% out of your earning first as a first fruit, then whatever you have. If you're short, you want to trust God for that. So giving tithing is a means of giving your heart and the first fruit unto God. And so anyway, this has been long, but hopefully this gives you a little better picture of why we tithe and give offering to God, but ultimately is to worship God and to give, to bring blessing into your life. Okay, when I say, may God bless you with abundance, everyone says, amen, I receive it. May God bless you with abundance.
Amen, I receive it.
Amen. Lord, we thank you, God, for this talk. This message on tithes and offering. And Lord, this is just a small portion of what you give us. So would you help us not to be, Lord, just being loving the money more than you, but that we would be willing to give 10%, even more, as an offering to love you and to worship you. And may our blessing comes from not my striving, but by your doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.